Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, the 8th day of February, 2022. A lot of stuff to get into. You know, what is happening up in Canada and in other countries, you're not hearing on the media. You're hearing bits and pieces, but most of it is misinformation. And I will just say this. If there is one moment in time, and again, I call this a hinge moment in history, and I think that that's an adequate or an appropriate description, it is now. If we don't get off the sidelines, if we don't get ourselves involved, we've chosen the side, and that side is acquiescence to tyranny. There's no other way around it. We have to support. We have to provide support. We have to, again, ourselves be involved in the pushback against global tyranny. I've shown you through this platform what they have, the globalist, tyrannical despots have in store for us, exactly what they've got in store for us, and that is, of course, complete oppression, complete tyrannical control, taking away our rights, digitizing us, making us humanoids through the transgender. Now listen to this. Transgenderism is transhumanism light. Well, it's the introduction to transhumanism. If you can erase gender identity, if you can erase identity, you can certainly erase your personhood, your and really impact your soul. Now, I believe that part of this, a big part of this, is of course through these mass jabs. But it was the impetus for this was, of course, laid out or at least released with the SARS-CoV-2 experiment funded by the NIH, in part. Francis Collins at the time, head at the time, and Anthony Fauci of NIAID and Bill Gates and Jerry. Look, I believe this to be true. Jeremy Farrar Sir Jeremy Farrar in the UK, and Ralph Baric, of course. All of these people, we see that, you know, they're all part of this. We saw this as late as Event 201, going backwards, Operation Lockstep and Dark Winter before that. And all of the people involved in this. The pushback against this are the truckers. The visible pushback right now are the truckers. So what I want to lay this out for you, how we are making that difference. Oh, I will say this. The Canadian authorities said anyone nationally in Canada or internationally supporting the truckers, they're committing a crime in Canada. Well, They will be identified and criminally charged. Well, I'll tell you what, you got to catch me first, because let me make this easy on the people, on the authorities in Canada. Guess what? I'm one of those you are looking for. Charge me. Go ahead, charge me. Charge me criminally. I've got no desire to visit your hellhole that you created while you're in power. None. Zero. So charge me criminally. And speaking of charging, I had a talk with an attorney today. It seems as though, and again, I indicated this before, but it seems as though, you know, our promotion of the protest against the illicit, illegal, stolen vote in the last presidential election, our supportive role is under investigation by the January 6th committee. You know what? I and here's Simple. Here's my response to that. And I told my attorney today about this. It's something when you're involved in something like this, you've got to actually have a criminal defense attorney at the ready. Folks, in America right now, they are not stopping. They're making additional arrests even today from January 6th of last year. Okay, you got to understand, it is still going on. The investigation, this tyranny, there are people still locked up in the gulags in D.C. No one's coming to the rescue, or very few are coming to the rescue. Where are the Republicans, so-called Republicans, the rhinos, the people that propped up President Trump? Where are they? Where are they? Nowhere to be found. We are on our own. But I'm going to tell you something. We're winning in certain respects. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to show you how we're winning. And I'm going to show you how to win this. Now, we're fighting against abject evil. Absolutely evil beyond any, folks. The fight that is going on the spiritual level is so demonic, so evil, it defies description. The fight that's going on in Afghanistan, in Iraq, I would hope everyone tuned into or watches the segment. Yesterday, Alex Jones had a gentleman on from thegreatcampaign.org, I believe it is. Let me explain this. What this particular regime in Washington, D.C. is doing, what Pelosi, what Biden, what others in Congress are doing, including some of the people on the right, by aligning themselves with ISIS, leaving $85 billion worth of equipment over in Afghanistan, leaving upwards or just south of 10,000 citizens, abandoning them in Afghanistan. The Christian persecution that's going on all across the Middle East, caused in part and as well as by Barack, Barry, Satoru, Hussein, Obama from his Arab Spring push. You remember that? This is all tied together. But anyway, back to the January 6th. But I would hope you watched yesterday, the 7th. Again, I just want to mention this. Alex Jones, the video that he had the in-studio guest on LifeSite News also quoted him. And he's helping Christians in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria, and all across the Middle East in that area. So I'll have a link to it in the program description box of this program at HagmanReport.com. But I want to get back to January 6th just briefly because, again, the people who are suffering in solitary confinement from January 6th, no one's coming to help them. And you know what? Arrests will continue. I guess arrests will continue until morale approves or until we fight back enough and we say, no, this is not going to happen. Because when the FBI comes to my door, I'm not going to say a word. I'm just going to hand them a copy of Hunter Biden's hard drive. And you know what? For added measure, maybe a couple of disks of Hillary Clinton's emails and tell them to get the hell off my property. So those people, and I know they're watching. You're watching this show? I'm not going to talk to you. No one's going to talk to you. We will give you a parting gift, but get off and stay the hell off my property. But understand this, there are people that are still under the gun by these tyrannical communists in this illicit J6 committee. It's BS. All right, sorry about that side note, but what I want to do right now is show you a couple of things. Let me go in this order here. Let's go to video 2. Now, you've probably seen this, but you know, obviously, unless you've been tuned into the mainstream legacy irrelevant media, you know that truckers across the world are representing freedom for their people, including the American people. For me, too. the truckers in Canada getting the most visible media here in North America. It's coming to America as well. It's developing right now in America. It's happening in New Zealand, in other parts of the world. They don't want you to know this because you know why? This is making a difference. You know about the GoFundMe, right? For the truckers in Canada. How GoFundMe stole the contributions for the truckers. Let's play, you know what, before, let's go to video one first. I'm sorry I messed you up. Eric the Tech over there is saying, come on, man. Come on, man. Corn Pop was a bad dude. Stay on the target here. You all right? You got my present for you?
Doing good.
Yeah, you got my present for you in the chair? Was that today?
No.
That was yesterday. Whatever.
That's yours.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry about that. That's right, because otherwise you couldn't see it. Never mind. Folks, disregard that. All right. So we're making a difference. On the 5th of February, which was, 3 days ago, and I'm sure many people saw parts of this, but my favorite part was the part I'm about to show you. The Ottawa Police, or the Ottawa Police Services Board Agenda 51 meeting, the Ottawa City Council met. They weren't happy. They were not happy. Now, understand, these are the same people who want to defund the police, the equivalent here in the United States. They want to defund the police. And just for the record, the way the police are acting up in Canada, the way the police are acting here with BLM and Antifa, I'm okay with that. To the extent that you get the tyrannical despots out of leadership and in the you know, the ones that beat on people out of the rank and file, although that's going to take a long time. But let me show you this. This is video one. There's a couple of segments here. This one woman there. Now she really, okay. You got to understand this one woman. Well, I'll tell you what, watch it. You'll know what I'm talking about when I say this one woman. Okay. Go ahead and play starting at, and again, the link to the entire meeting will be at HagmanReport.com. And I'll get back on track here. You can start at one hour, 23 minutes and 20 seconds. Here it is.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you to the command. Can I just express my frustration with everything on behalf of our community? I think there was a lot of hope yesterday, Chief, when you outlined the surge and contain strategy and the sense of urgency to get this thing under control. Despite that, I think people are expressing frustration because they're not seeing any results. To hear that we need legal advice on what can be done to clamp down on some of the behaviors is baffling. There is criminal behavior happening down there. And I think if we could see the officers in the neighborhoods, have we gone in and arrested the people who are causing trouble at night? I think if we could see some concrete things happening, maybe people wouldn't be so frustrated. We see Quebec City taking action. We see Toronto taking action. I mean, obviously, with hindsight, look at what's going on here. But at the same time, you need officers. We're getting more officers. But we need to be told if there's a concrete plan in place that we can start arresting people. How do we know that things are going to blow up if we haven't done anything except monitor and keep the peace? This can't continue. And this is day eight. Can I just say that knowing that we haven't been in touch with the NCC to decide about policing Confederation Park is mind-boggling to me. Have we not put all the levels of government and the decision makers in a room to determine, because this is an unprecedented situation, that we have to take unprecedented decisions and move? Because we're giving it the signal to all these people who are coming into town that it's a free-for-all. You know, they can take tires off trucks. They can put up buildings. They can bring in fuel. They can take over our stadium. We've given them the signal that it's a common party in our town. And if I'm expressing frustration, not just as a board member and a city councillor, but as a resident of the city, to see our colleagues and our fellow residents downtown being so hard put upon. I believe it when I hear my city councillors downtown say there's no police presence in the neighborhoods and people have been left on their own. We want to know what the plan is. We want to know concretely what is going to happen. Are we going to start making arrests? Or do we just wait for more intelligence? I'm assuming other cities are getting intelligence.
Okay, so here's the deal with this. This is a protest I really don't like, as opposed to BLM and Antifa. Now, again, this is a different country. This is Canada. Different city, different circumstances. People are going to say, well, you're making an unfair comparison. No. Because they had their own share of leftist uprisings as well, and not quite as definitive and obvious as Portland and Seattle, but the same kind of thing take place in the past. And hey, no problem there. But this is a protest. For crying out loud, we have people setting up. There are people in trucks honking the horns. There are people who are providing bouncy castles to children. There are people who are feeding the homeless. Oh, the horror. They're disrupting. But the horns, I can't take it. The horns. Stop the hammering. Stop the horn.
The parked vehicles scare me.
Yeah. It's. Oh, look, that truck. It's got a monster face on it. I can't sleep. I'm inconvenienced. How dare these people interrupt my life? How dare these people do things that will impact my ability to make money? How dare these people do things to impact my comfort, take away my rights? They're taking away my rights. Well, wait a second. Why are they there? Why are they there in the first place? Go ahead. I know you're going to say something. Were you going to say something? Oh, okay. Well, all right.
She would just rather them loot Targets and Walmarts.
There you go. That's okay. That's okay. By the way, I've got a good solution for looting, okay? 45 or 12 gauge. I have no problem with that, but it's only a purse. You don't want to shoot somebody over. No, you set an example. You leave the body stacked up out front. You go full Korean store owner on the people. You want to know how quick that would stop? Pretty damn quick. We can't do that. We're a civilized society. Are we? Look at the videos. Okay. So the police responded back and said, "You know what? We're doing a bunch of stuff. You know what? And I'm not even going to continue. There's additional spots in there where she's just beside herself. She can't take it anymore. And the police are not doing enough." So
I think Carol's real name is Karen.
Yeah. But, you know, that's offending to all the Karen, you know, good women named Karen out there. Unbelievable. But, see, now you know, you're up to date on all this. You know, if you've been watching social media, if you've been watching this program and other programs like this, you know, of course, GoFundMe was shut down. And the money donated to the truckers was confiscated. And, of course, This was the impetus, I believe, for that. I don't know if you probably saw the end. I don't know if you saw what really prompted this. Okay, this is video two. This is an Ottawa Council Zoom meeting, encouraging people to report the Canadian Convoy for Freedom GoFundMe, even calling them this unlawful. Even calling them unlawful mercenaries. Here's this 44-second clip. Here it is.
if he will pick up the phone and call GoFundMe in the States directly and demand that they cease and desist sending money to these unlawful protesters. And perhaps while he's at it, he could pick up the phone and ask the Prime Minister to do the same. We've had some conversations about perhaps suing GoFundMe, but legal action takes time, and this is urgent. We need to cut off the pipeline of funding to these people that are unlawfully mercenaries, if you will, that are unlawfully protesting and occupying our communities.
You know, I got a response.
I'm so scared.
Yeah, yeah, and it's frightening. I mean, did you realize every time I walk by a bouncy castle, I get triggered? Every time I walk by a truck delivering food at the cross, I'm triggered now.
No bouncing.
No.
Just loot a Target.
No, they've moved up from Target. They go to Louis Vuitton and, you know, Saks and stuff like that. Hell of a Target. You know what stores, I'll tell you what business to get into. Buy stock in stores, in companies that sell work boots. You never see them looted. You never see, you know, work jackets looted or hard hats looted. No. No. But I digress. And two words for that woman. Shut up. Because here's why you should shut up. Okay, listen to me. Here's what... I keep doing that. Did I unplug my... Here's why you should...
First off...
What?
You forgot to add a word after shut up.
It's up here. I can't say it's family friendly. But here's why she needs to shut her pie hole. Okay, let me explain why she needs to shut her pie hole. Go to page... I guess when I sent the show prep, I guess I didn't title the first page link. Page. Yeah, it's page and then blank. This is why you need to shut up. This is in the Federalist, folks. They are Federalist, folks. 18 fundraisers aiding riots, crime, abortion, and genital mutilation that GoFundMe did not shut down. Wait, what? You know, so they will shut down the freedom-minded Canadians, but what they don't shut down, Lord forbid, in this article by L. Reynolds of The Federalist, writing for The Federalist more precisely, is this. Let's take a look at what GoFundMe does fund, shall we? One GoFundMe fundraising campaign entitled Charged with Bank Robbery During George Floyd Riot. They're seeking bail money for Dominique Maxey. Is that a man or a woman? What is that, Dominique? I mean, in my time, it was a woman, but I don't know. It was a she or her. Anyway, she was arrested. This person was arrested in May 2020 and charged with bank larceny. And then Raven S. seeking $2,000 to help pay fines after, as she wrote on November 13th, that she was arrested and detained for trying to assist a man being wrongfully assaulted by police. And you know who's really backing this GoFundMe initiative for this violence? Heels Up Harris. That's right. Have we seen her recently? Maybe we should put her mug on a, you know, don't. On a milk carton? No, don't. Leave her lost, and certainly don't put it on a milk carton. All right. So here's the deal. You can read this, okay, this sickening, this all of these. Go. You know what? GoFundMe can go. Okay. Sorry. You know, see, I didn't say it. Marianne, I didn't say it. So don't yell at me. All right. So those are the ones. But hey, you shut the... You got to stop. I'm telling you right now, GoFundMe, you got to stop those terrorists. that Canadian truckers blowing those horns, bouncing castles, barbecuing, feeding the homeless. Oh my word, you got to stop their funding, confiscate their money. And they did. Give, send, go stepped up though. Hang on, I got more. Let's go to page one now. Because, or you had the other ready, didn't you? All right, let's go to page one now. See what here's what they are afraid of. This is going worldwide. New Zealand protest convoy blocks capital demands and two vaccine mandates. And excuse me, anytime you see vaccine mandates, look, that's the way of saying digital identification, digital currency, the architecture for Mark of the Beast. That's what this is. Vaccine mandates equal vaccine passports, which again, the terminology is not correct, but understand what they are blocking and what they are against. And this, I'll tell you what, this hacks off Klaus Schwab to no flipping end. I can't do accents, you know, I really can't. I'm horrible at that.
You do that again.
Klaus Schwab, that's because...
Careful, your teeth will pop out.
You know, there's a wire like holding a lot of this in because, you know, I fell and never mind. So I smashed in my mouth.
The show would be better if you didn't have teeth.
Oh, hey. And you know, the sad part, I took, these are all my natural, you know, chiclets. All right. By the way, I will be down and unable to talk. The healthcare system in this country is broken. So now the new date is February 28th and whatever. So I'll let you know. Yeah, I'm not holding my breath because, you know, it was the 7th and it was the 14th. I guess we're going in increments of 7, but who the hell knows? All right. Excuse me. So we're winning because the people are starting to say, wait a minute. None of this is making any sense. It was never about health. It was all about tyranny. And you know this. Your neighbors know this. But see, your neighbors who are triple jabbed, triple boosted, and still got, you know, the coof, they don't like to be made fools of. They don't like to feel foolish. They don't like to think, wow, man, you know what? I got hosed. I believed in Fauci. In fact, I even have a shirt that says, I heart Fauci. And my pillow on the couch has Fauci's face on it. I sit on Fauci's face every day. I don't. Eric does.
You have statues of him in your garden.
No, candles. Candles with the, you know, Fauci on the outside instead. Yeah, Saint Fauci.
Garden gnomes.
Thank you, garden gnomes. I forgot about that. You know, with apologies to garden gnomes, but here's the thing, okay?
Jones stole that from you.
Alex, I know, and we got to talk because, come on, man. Poor Alex Jones, garden gnome. You can use it. It's all right, brother. You keep on keeping on. You're doing fabulous. And I know you're working with Joe Rogan, and I know this. God bless you, brother. Just
see, you're trendy.
I'm trendy?
Trendy old man.
I'm just an old man. All right. Yeah. but see, here's the thing, and here's what I want to leave you with in this segment. We are winning. We are winning. But caution. Caution. We can win this. And at the end of the day, did you know, by the way, you like how I do that? It's kind of like talking to Steve Quayle. I love Steve Quayle. I mean, we talk like this all the time. Well, we'll start on one subject and then end up on another. It's just I'll be saying, hey, about tomorrow. Hey, did you know? And then something totally different. But anyway, did you know that half the police force up in Ottawa, and they won't tell you this. I got this directly from somebody on the police force up there. Half the police force, the night They confiscated that fuel. Half the next day said, no more. Do not put me on that assignment. I'm not going to do it. They're quietly, there's a rebellion up there. I was going to play you a 2.5 minute clip. There's a Calgary officer out there as well saying, you know what, I'm on the wrong side of history. Let's end this and bring Stan on. I want to just end this with video 3, Tucker Carlson starting at 1:44. Watch this. I urge caution, but watch this, because when I say urge caution, we're on the right now. We are on the right side of history. We have to stay on the right side of history. We have to fight back. We have to push back. We have to make sure that the people like Klaus Schwab and Fauci's and Rachel Walensky's and Biden's and Harris and Pelosi, we have to make them accountable. And I mean, when I say make them accountable, I mean, if I have to reuse the rope, make them accountable. In Minecraft. Hypothetically, I'm talking now.
The video game Minecraft?
Yes. That's all I talk about. I mean, I'm not advocating violence. I'm talking about playing a video game.
That's how you spend your free time.
Yeah. That's a thing. Never mind. All right, but watch Tucker Carlson here. I don't want to take time away, but this is so important. This is so important that we prevail. Because if we don't put this tyranny down now, that jackboot of tyranny will come back on us and will absolutely crush our throats if we do not prevail. So we better prevail to the very bitter end. And if the end is bitter, so be it. Watch Tucker Carlson starting at 1:44.
Consider what's happening right now in Canada. Thousands of truck drivers have descended on Ottawa, the capital city, to protest.
Look at that. Oh, God. I'm triggered by that. Is she making an obscene gesture there? Was that an obscene gesture? Oh, no. It's a heart. Go ahead.
Ottawa, the capital city, to protest the tyranny of Justin Trudeau's government. Justin Trudeau does not like truck drivers. He thinks they're revolting. Justin Trudeau likes private equity barons and tech moguls and other people who give him money. Trudeau is not in Ottawa right now. In fact, he and his family fled when the truck drivers arrived, and they've been in hiding ever since. So when the revolution he has been calling for finally arrived, Justin Trudeau wasn't there to see it. He ran away in terror. Kind of sad. So instead, in his place, his friend Mark Carney has been speaking for him. Carney is a former Goldman Sachs executive who many believe will replace Justin Trudeau if Trudeau ever decides to give up power. In a recent op-ed, Mark Carney vented his rage at the impudent truckers in Ottawa and anyone who sent the money on the internet. Quote, "Anyone sending money to the convoy should be in no doubt," Carney wrote. "You are funding sedition. Foreign funders of an insurrection interfered in our domestic affairs from the start." God, that's okay, not a protest.
You can stop it right there. You notice how the universal word now is insurrection. Insurrection. Well, I'll tell you what. To the Canadian Prime Minister, Fidel Castro Jr., and I mean that, Justin Fidel Castro Jr. Trudeau, and all of the police forces of the RCMP, service of process or criminal indictment, go ahead and look on HagemanReport.com. You'll find the appropriate contact information there. Come and get me, because I did support and will continue to support that particular movement, as well as the one in the United States. And if that's supporting insurrection, then so be it, because I will be a part of it.
Meaning we've never seen an insurrection recently.
Not since the first insurrection that resulted in the birth of our republic. Or actually, that's not true. The left has attempted and actually caused many insurrection attempts in the Capitol. Even the Puerto Rican faction back in the 50s, but I digress. All right. With me is Stan. I don't want to take any more. Stan Dale, standale.com. What a great guy. You know, last week, for some reason, I had to put up two videos because we couldn't upload the whole video for today's show, and something happened anyway. But man, I'll tell you what, people were emailing me and sending me messages and saying, "Hey, where's Stan?" And I put a thing on there on the first thing and said, "Hey, click here to continue the video." Oh, boy. So anyway, that won't happen this time. Stan Dale from standale.com, empshield.com, folks, $50 off using promo code Hagman. You need one of these. You need one of these yesterday. Go to empshield.com. Get this. Also, standale.com, dare to prepare. If you don't have it, you need to get it. We had a Patreon meeting on Sunday. And guess what? People were saying, man, dare to prepare. I'm getting that. As soon as they're back, I'm getting that. We need it. Best products, best intellectual products as well. On standale.com. Stan, sorry to take so much time. Go, come on board, and the rest is yours.
All right. Well, thank you, guys.
I'm sorry, man. You're going to flog.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. The Dare to Prepare thing, they will actually be shipping it from Eastern States about the 16th. Mm. So we're going to go ahead and put up and allow you to pre-order now because the big buyers are kind of hanging out there to buy a few more pallet loads. So. Okay. We'll do it in the order in which we get the orders.
Okay.
I'll put that up today, after the show this evening. You can click on there and, do your pre-order.
So the 16th will be shipping, right?
Yeah. So they'll get here about the 22nd, I think. So, yeah.
Okay.
We were lucky. We were fortunate or blessed anyway to, for the printer to have enough paper and ink and glue. To do our run. Some of his books they couldn't do because of the shortages caused by the COVID thing with China and the ships hanging offshore. That doesn't really happen, you understand. I think conspiracy theorists say that. Look at the meat shelves, the poultry, the milk and things, and the other empty shelves in your grocery stores, and then say that we're conspiracy theorists. I mean, this is so obvious. Yeah, now listen, there are a number of things to talk about. I want to talk about today, but one that really, really sticks in our craw here. Holly and I talked about it earlier today. We're just pulling our hair out. Slides 52 through 54. Now, these slides, if you click on the text, they'll all go to the same article. But I wanted to talk about it's the Border Patrol. Pretends to patrol the border. Immigration and Customs Enforcement pretends to keep tabs on people coming in. President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris pretend to say, don't come here. But every signal from the wide open borders to the NGO, welcome mat says, come on in. Come in, Spinner. Now, these people that are coming from all over the place are going through primarily Mexican smuggler guys that... charge of money to get them across into America, great opportunities and all that kind of stuff. Well, they're going to not have enough money. They're going to be indebted to the cartels to serve them when they get here, which probably means they'll vote, in the elections the way the cartels want them to vote, which would be, Democratic. It just looking at their faces there at Kamala and Biden, it's like looking at Bonnie and Clyde. They're attacking America this way. They are the good people in America. Bonnie and Clyde in charge of our borders. Even on the planes, as you're scanning down, you'll see it on the planes. They gave them little blue folders. And one of them, had tickets to Houston, Atlanta, Newark, and JFK airports. And they also contain an airline tickets, a U.S. passport looking booklet, cash, prepaid credit cards, amazing, money in their pocket. And the cover of the folder says in capital letters, please help me. I do not speak the English. What plane do I need to take? Thank you for your help. Put a smiley face after it. And that really frosts our cookies. Let me tell you what. Just something got to happen. We've got to break this grip on our country by these usurpers. They were not elected fairly, and they don't belong in the White House, and they don't belong in power in the Congress either.
You know what I find ironic is the very same people who call our country full of, our culture white supremacist. We are full of white supremacists. It's white supremacy. It's patriarchy. It's white patriarchy. It's all bad. Yet they're bringing people of color into this country. What are they? They have it in for these people of color? Is that the deal? I mean, because obviously, just saying.
Well, they're making them slaves is what they're doing. slaves to the cartels, and these people are promised a better life. Well, they're saying, well, even though we have to be slaves to the cartel, it's a better life than what we're living, where we can't eat and all that kind of stuff. Maybe, but there's a process to vet these people and bring them in and controlled them out so that we can absorb them without chaos into our society. These last couple of years have just been a nightmare, a nightmare. We're being invaded and we can't stop it. This is just crazy. Anyway, wow. I'm on my bandwagon again.
No, I love it. I was on mine and you saw what happened. So, yeah.
Well, anyway, something to keep an eye on. I don't have this on my show images page, but I will let's see, how do I give this to you guys? I'll do it this way. I got a Twitter link and it was taken. Let me just see if I go to this chat. Okay, I'm going to your chat channel and I'm going to put this link in there and you can pick it up, Eric, if you want to. It goes to this article, which is on Twitter, and it's a video showing that plane crash. Wrong one. I'll get another one in there in just a second. where is that? Yeah. Okay. I want you to show this anyway, because it shows that plane crashing on the deck of the American aircraft carrier. And the pilot did get out very safely, which is kind of cool. And here we go. Okay. That second link in there, Western Journal, gives you a look. If you bring that up on your screen instead of mine, I know you have trouble doing a share screen. So you'll see a video down there that shows our F-35 guy coming in and crashing on the deck of the aircraft carrier. And if you look quickly, you see him just ejecting out of the craft before it bursts into flame and goes to the end of the deck and off into the South China Sea.
All right, he's working to get that up. What do you attribute the crash to, or what has it been attributed to?
Well, the rumor market that I can't verify in the news and stuff, but the rumor market is that the pilot had taken his COVID injection 3 days before, and that during the flight, he suddenly had heart pains. What do they call that that he had?
Myocardial.
Yeah.
He said that it felt like he'd gotten hit in the chest with a baseball bat.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
Okay, with a baseball bat, myocarditis. And, when you're flying your jet and trying to concentrate, when you get hit with a baseball bat in the chest, it gets your attention. And there you go. And that's what caused him to, try to land. There you go. He just ejected and then off the edge into the sea went the plane. And this is fortunate, I guess, because if it had stayed on the deck, they would have had to put out the fire and possibly shove all the remains over the deck anyway to keep from catching the ship on fire on the aircraft strip. Anyway,
Wow.
Another mark against it.
I God bless those people who can land planes on that little thing. Oh
yeah,
man.
I've tried in some of the simulators to land on aircraft carriers with the jets and stuff that they put in the simulators, and it is difficult because the back end of that carrier is not just stable; it's moving in a direction of the aircraft carrier, and it's bobbing in the waves, and so you've got to come in and match the bob just as you get there and, put the brakes on. Well, you'll hit the rope, but, the brakes to help. And it's difficult. I crashed more than I landed on those things in the simulators.
Yeah, I was just going to ask.
Well, I'm telling the truth, yeah.
How many aircraft carriers do you sink, or people did you kill? But, I got blood. I mean, seriously, that. But Dr. Teresa Long and two other military doctors had testified before Ron Johnson on January 24th that there was a tremendous increase, according to the DMED database, of all sorts of things, including myocarditis, pericarditis, tachycardia, myocardial infarctions and such. So, it's at least you didn't get COVID. So, all right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Look, this has been an attack, not only the United States, but the entire planet. The powers that be, the one worlders, the Illuminati, in essence, the human-based Illuminati, they are behind all this. They want to reduce the population. I've known it since I got that a look at that CIA report that was being carried by a courier. I was fortunate enough to be able to meet with him and get the document in 1974 in Perth. And even then, they were talking about how they could arrange grain loans to not be granted in time to cause a huge famine in India and kill maybe 100 million people, because that would start helping the proliferation of people, the population problem. And the courier was, a good guy. He was an agent. But he said, I've got to take this report back to Langley. And tears rolled down his face. He says, but I don't want to. He says, I hate what we're having to do. And it was an effort, and the CIA was involved in it, to gradually diminish the population of the Earth, by normal means, and then by attrition due to disease and due to famines and weather conditions. So it's been a long process since 1974 to develop this huge impetus, and the coronavirus has just been the final thrust of it. I think, in my opinion, and I'm pretty sure I'm right from reading the Bible about this, there's going to be a fake, landing by aliens proposing, saying that they are like from where Jesus lives in the heaven somewhere. And therefore, they're going to set up a world government to help us. And they're going to get rid of the problem on the earth. And they're going to say that the problem is our leaders, the Illuminists. And they're going to destroy the banking systems and the Illuminists and their companies and their control over the whole planet, and put their own man in charge of the planet to set things straight and make a harmonious planet. He'll be a man without any track record, no religious connections, no political connections, no financial connections. I don't know who he'll be or how he'll be that way, but he's going to be a neutral appointee by these quote-unquote alien brothers of ours, the fake messiahs. And they're going to do us a favor and get rid of the bad guys. And as I've said many times, most people are going to say, if they don't know any better, oh, look, the Illuminati have been beat. These banking cartels are going down. And, they're now going to be in the control of a fair world leader. Anyway, that's what I see coming. The financial collapse is the next thing.
You know, a year ago, 2 years ago, I would have said, how many people do you think Christians especially would fall for that? Now I'm convinced that, that would probably work. Absolutely. Just having seen what I've seen.
I'm way out there. I was way ahead of the curve.
Oh yeah. And folks, please, again, I cannot speak highly enough about Cosmic Conspiracy. It's hard to keep on my bookshelf. Okay. There are people that come in here and they look at my bookshelf, but Cosmic Conspiracy, go to the stand there. That's still available. Just right. I mean, there's no problem with Cosmic ordering.
Yeah, no, they're still available.
Okay.
In fact, I even found 10 copies of the original printing in an old box out the back. So, some guy just bought two of them. So, yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's a collector's edition. It's not, doesn't have all the stuff that my new one does in 2010, the final edition, but for collectors, it is there.
Hear that, folks? Collector's edition. I think 8 left, maybe. And
The covers are, some of the lettering on the back has been abraded, they were stored on top of each other, but inside is perfect. So
there you go. All right. $100 out the door, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Now, a couple things I want to address from last week. Last week, if you look at slide 55 and click on the graph, you'll see that this graph is showing the last solar cycle, 24 on the left, and then the current cycle starting in 2020. And it shows the sunspot activity on the one on the left, and the one on the right shows, the red shows the projected or forecast strength of this solar cycle. Now, this map is more current than the one I'm going to show you in a minute because it missed a year. But this shows in December 2021 that we were having twice as many sunspots as the projected curve said. And if you look over at the last, you know, at the one to the left there, the solar cycle to the left, it's about the same kind of strength there. So it's not going to be, this solar cycle is not going to be less, you know, or too much more than the last one. But if you click on the chart in slide 57, click on that, this one lays over each other all of the last five solar cycles from 21 to 25. And the 25, our current one, is that little black squiggly line down the lower left-hand corner, which you can just see. And it shows it going 19 months into the solar cycle. It is still greater than last solar cycle, which is the pink one. But it's nowhere near as great a sunspot activity as, say, the blue line, which was solar cycle 21, 1970. Oh, I can't quite read that. It looks like 1976 to 1986 or something in that region. But anyway, Okay, now let me just get back to the thing here. All right, so I'm just saying, look at these closely. They're, the one on the right's about a year out of date. As far as I'm concerned, doesn't show quite the jump that we see in the sunspot activity graph on the left. But I wanted to, you know, put that straight because the two look to be differing, and that's why. Sun, let's go down. Go down to slide 38, Eric, and have a look at this huge solar prominence. A guy caught it on camera. His name is down on the right, Schauberger, I think. Anyway, with his backyard telescope, and it's a beautiful shot giving you a look at this huge flare on the surface of the sun. And this is important because the sun, in spite of being, you know, only a little bit bigger than last one as far as sunspot count, the activity, and I don't know how we measure that, but the activity of the surface of the sun is getting very busy. Look over at the next the slide to the left, there's slide 37, the green one, that shows what they call a solar heliograph. And that's a picture of satellites that are around the sun, giving us about a 75% view of the sun. And it shows these bright white spots are activities, you know, regions of activity, increased activity and dangers of CMEs and flares. And this is current as of this morning. And where it says zero longitude is what is facing Earth, or at least Earth direction. And you'll see that even the two new white spots coming on the left are, you know, at one at 28 degrees north and the other at 28 degrees south of the equator of the sun. So they're not going to, if they shoot anything at us, strong probability is they won't hit the Earth directly. So it won't be like a, you know, 1896 or whatever event, a Carrington event, but it's still very busy, so we have to keep an eye on it. And you can link to these things. Slides 39 and 42 let you link at them to see the last 48 hours of activity on the sun in a video. You know, like every few hours they were clicking it. And the one in slide 42 is hot. I mean, that's like looking at the sun in the this wavelength 304 angstroms, and there are no magnetic lines or anything like that. But if you click on that, which you've done, you're going to see a wave shoot across the sun. Yeah, there it comes. I think about right there somewhere. You'll just see a. Oh, you've already gone past it. I was running behind. Sorry. Yeah, there it went. That was the wave, which was a flare. Like a coronal mass ejection loop. It went from the lower left up to the above the equator up toward the other sunspot activity. Doesn't that look hot to you? I mean, look at the stuff boiling off the surface here. And this isn't anywhere near what it's going to be shortly.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I think, you know, and folks remember that the Earth is really small compared to the sun, obviously.
Man. Yeah, it fits in several times in these little bright spots you see there at the top. Right. Inside 40, they talk about a newly discovered mega comet, a big dude. 2014 UN-271 is its number. It's currently diving from the outer solar system into our inner solar system. Now, it's not to worry. It's not even going to hit the sun. It says at its closest to our sun, it will be close to the orbit of outer planet Saturn in 2031. Now, it's not a threat, but it's an interesting thing. It's thought to be the largest comet ever discovered yet, and it's as big as a dwarf star, and it's still away, far away and far and hard to see. But the current estimate suggests the core of this comet is between 62 and 230 miles in diameter. That's like a small planet, like they said. And you can read the details of the article. But you can see the picture in the article. Now, I want to talk about that. Let's see. Is that where the new asteroid is? I'm looking for, we've got a new Trojan asteroid here somewhere. Okay. Slide 48. Click on the article, the text underneath. Astronomers confirm a second Trojan asteroid for Earth. Now you think, well, okay, what's a Trojan asteroid? Well, it's an asteroid that is in a planet's Lagrange points where it's balanced with the sun's gravity and planet's gravity and all of its moons and whatever into a stable orbit. And you can see from the picture in that article that if you're looking at these Trojans, say, you know, from the Earth here in South America, it will appear to make this elliptical path in the sky, but it's in a spot, a Lagrange point where it's balanced and it won't move from that spot. It'll stay there forever and ever. And in slide 45 underneath that, if you click on the picture first, you'll see what a Lagrange thing looks like. You can have, for the Earth, we can have five Lagrange points or stable orbit points for these asteroids. And you can see one is between the Earth and the Sun, and one is on the opposite side. The L4 and L5 and L3 are other points around the Sun, but that's where the balance of gravity, if something was there, it could be in our orbit around the Sun, but kind of chasing us in a stable point. It won't catch up and it won't fall back and hit us. So there are the potential points, but we only have two at the moment, which are in L1 and L2. We've just added the second one. Now, a Trojan is an asteroid that orbits the Sun in the vicinity of the Earth-Sun Lagrangian points, it says. Now, other planets do have them. Jupiter has some. Saturn has some. And if you click on the text, it'll take you down there and discuss what a Trojan asteroid is. And they've used Greek terms about it. There are other factors involved in Trojans and Trojan orbits and things like that. But it's a good article on Wikipedia, so have a look at that.
All right. Man.
Well, lots of good stuff.
Yeah.
Things happening in the universe. Now, Holly has an article on our standale.com page on, you know, astronomical events and things like that. And she has an article today on 1,000 mysterious strands revealed at the Milky Way's heart. And remember, the Milky Way, like other galaxies, has a supermassive black hole. And they have discovered these little black things you can see there. If you click on the actual picture, it'll show you three versions that have been taken of these strands. The top one is the one you saw, of course, and these black streaks are the strands. And they're around the core of our galaxy, where the black hole is. And you can see the second picture down there is black and white, a close-up of some of the strands. There you go. And then down below, some color versions of it, taken a different way. But these are magnetic strands, and they don't know why these form. But the interesting point of the article is it talks about this supernova and that makes dark black holes, and our galaxy, like other galaxies, has a super black hole, which is formed by a supernova that collapsed on itself and created a galaxy there. Now, you can have black holes, it says in the article, around a star that collapses. A supernova star can collapse on itself, and a supernova would be about 20 times the mass of our current sun. But anyway, these stars then become little kind of average-sized, stellar-sized black holes. So in essence, we can have a lot of little stellar-sized black holes floating around our galaxy and you know, maybe somewhere else between galaxies. I never knew that we could have such small black holes, except for the ones made at CERN, which are, you know, microscopic little black holes that disappear in a few millions of a second. But isn't it interesting? We could have black holes the size of stars, collapsed stars, floating all around our galaxy. What? Oh, well, black holes. Yeah, well, black holes are dangerous. If you manage to get close enough to one, it'll eat your sun and your solar system and become a bigger, small black hole. Anyway, so this is Stanley's education. I got educated in this article here about smaller black holes than I realized. I always think in terms of, you know, galaxy gobbling things, but no, you can have a lot smaller ones.
Anyway. You know, that to me is rather interesting. What would happen to you in a black hole situation? I mean, you get sucked in. Would it just...
Well, according to the mathematics of it, you get sucked in. It doesn't happen instantly. It happens over a period of years. But it starts to stretch everything out toward the rim, you know, the outer shell of the black hole. So time dilates. And, you know, what you thought was a day might have actually been, you know, half a day or the other way around, depending on where you are in the stretch toward the horizon. It's called the event horizon. And eventually you're vaporized. I guess you wouldn't even realize it until bang, you're gone. But yeah, it's,
wow.
It's, there's a number of discussions of what would happen to you approaching it. There have been movies made about it, what the effect would be in time dilation. Like the closer you get to it, your day becomes, you know, 100 days on Earth, that kind of thing. You're slowing down your time sensation, and your twin on Earth would be like 100 times older, you know, in that circumstance.
Boy, it just seemed like a month, right? It just seemed like a month, but never mind.
Yeah, it would have been 100 months, you know. I mean, to you, you're on dilated time.
And, wow. Okay. Interesting to think about.
Yeah, and they're using Einstein's basic equation for relativity about stretching and flattening as you approach the speed of light, because you're going into a black hole that, you know, inside that black hole, there are things at the speed of light, or in my opinion, above the speed of light. But anyway, it's an equation that needs to be, well, there are other interpretations of it using other parameters to fill the equation, which show that you can go faster than the speed of light in certain circumstances. So when they say that time is dilated, yeah, it will be dilated, I'm sure. And how much is up for conjecture. But yeah, interesting thing, black holes.
Wow.
And I don't know why they're trying to make little black holes in CERN. I mean, okay, they disappear rather quickly. Maybe they have a way to destroy them. But, you know, little black holes eat things around them and become bigger black holes. It's insanity. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, why are they messing around with the coronaviruses? But you know, yeah, they're insane. They're psychopaths.
Yeah.
All right.
For the glory of science, just because it's there, we want to explore it and develop it. Just because sometimes, you know, we have to be smarter than that and realize that there are some things we leave alone because we don't know enough about them. Especially, you know, galaxy and astronomical things that we have no control over. Yeah. Anyway, some good news. Good news. You know, like in the Bible. The Israeli engineers in slide 43 have developed two things, to help people who can't walk or paralyzed, you know, from the neck down or things like that. They can now grow stem cells of spinal cord tissues taken from the patient and inject them back into, you know, the area of damage and grow new nerves, a new nerve connection, new discs. And they can also make a device that they can put in there to relieve pressure on the spinal processes, and so they can walk again. And if you go to the article, of course, you can see as you go down there where they have implants versus stem cells and showing what they're doing in the spine. And it is cool. I mean, I'm thinking I hope they get these things perfected because I'll have them shoot them into my back so I can, you know, get over the pain. But wow, it's like the Bible said, the lame shall walk. And Israel is making so many, you know, scientific discoveries that are really earth-shattering. Mind-blowing. And this is one of them. There's hope for a lot of our injured veterans and things like that, and people that have damaged their spinal cords or something else. Hold on, Holly's got a comment here.
I didn't tell you about this, but I watched on Fox News the inspirational speaker, Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
He has found some extraordinary healing information. It's not really junk, but it's involving a lot of stem cell surgery.
Yeah.
And he admitted what that had basically crippling pain for about 12 years.
Yeah.
And he went through this stem cell process, and he is good. So I want you to see that.
Yeah, make a note of it. That sounds like a great way. I hope you can fix my back. Well.
This fixed all kinds of injuries.
Really?
Including stenosis and spinal injury.
Did they take fat cells for the stem cells and propagate?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've got plenty of those. Okay. There you have it, folks.
Wow. That would be great, huh? I mean, seriously, oh, yeah. Great.
Yeah, I knew they must have some way to do it with stem cells, you know, to regrow tissue. And I'd even looked at jumper cable type things where you put a device above the damaged, nerve spine and one below it and connect neurons from above the break and to those below the break. And you could have a patch, in essence, jumper cable. But this is much better.
It will be video of the day number one tomorrow.
Okay, Holly says it'll be video of the number one of tomorrow. And tomorrow morning, have a look at it and see. I haven't seen it yet either, but that's great.
If you haven't done this already, make sure you go to standeo.com. That's Stan, DEYO, standeo.com. Links in the program description box. Make sure you check that out tomorrow, which will be February 9th, top video of the day. Please. And bookmark standeo.com, please. All right. Go ahead, sir.
All right. I'm looking here now. Then what do I want to talk about next? A little bit of a problem in state of Oregon. If you click on slide 53, sorry, 51. 51, isn't it? Is it 51, guys? Yeah, 51. I need to get my glasses cleaned. This is talking about geologists are monitoring very closely the magma that's been rising under the Oregon volcanic region. And they've been monitoring it for, years. But in the last 3 or 4 years, they've been seeing an increased rise in the ground level over a 12-mile diameter region. That's like, that's big. That's a lot of square miles. And it's 3 miles west of the South Sister Volcano, according to the USGS. It says the ground rose 0.9 inches, almost an inch, from June of 2020 to August of 2021. Now, movements like this catch your attention if you're a geologist, because it is showing that the magma pressure is going to release. And it's in an area called the Three Sisters area. And you can see the picture there in the article or on the click on the picture above in slide 51. But it does show you the deformation of the ground, the uplift, and those colored rings around that at the center there shows the center where it's happening over old volcanic regions. And it shows the degree of rise in those rings where they show the height difference. That's a differential graph. Just added to the problems for people in Oregon, because they're sitting on the west coast there where we have the Juan de Fuca area being very active volcanically and is threatening to create a tsunami with a major earthquake around Richter 9 or so, which may also trigger this volcano. Time to leave Oregon, guys.
Wow.
Yeah. Spooky, isn't it?
As if you need a reason to leave Oregon, but, and my apologies to people of Oregon, but yeah, there you go. Wow.
You'll get cards and letters. Yeah, I know. Boy, if there are, there's so many things that are threatening our lives, not just in America, but the whole planet. And you've got a bunch of people trying to say that they know better, their science is great, and they're going to engineer the planet so they can support maybe 500 million people or 1 million people, whatever they decide, and get rid of all the rest, by attrition, by resources depletion, and by disease and whatever. And they're playing with, things, weather, geology on this planet that they do not really understand. The Creator understands. The Creator of this planet put everything in order and gave it a lifetime. It's going to wear out eventually. And so our scientists are using what's called post hoc ergo prompter hoc logic. It has always been this way in things of the earth, therefore it will continue to be this way. But until there is a a but clause, which says, oh, we're at the end of the life of these things and it's all going to change now. And so they're using this flawed logic. They've always done this to predict what the future is going to be and how they can manipulate the future with cloud seeding and, you know, all the other things they do. But no, we're in real trouble, real trouble. Anyway, back to the real world here. In slide 49, if you click on the text, it'll take you to an article showing the things that need to happen when Mohammed bin Salman takes over as king from his father. They're saying we're getting to that point. We all know that. The old guy is, 80 or something like that, but he's an old king, and he's wearing out, been in hospital several times recently. In fact, he might still be there. And for MBS to take the throne, he has to have the approval of he's 86 years old, the old king is, but they have to have the approval of like a Saudi royal family consortium. These guys vote to see whether you can be the king or not. And that's what MBS is faced with at the moment. Anyway, it's not a slam dunk. There are some people wanting to protest that he gets the throne. They'll take it. They want to take it themselves. So it's going to be a little bit of an infighting battle there when the old guy dies officially. And you got to wonder whether he's dead or just being kept alive, you know, on life support by MBS. So you don't have to face the problem of the relatives seeing whether he can stay in there or not. And slide 50 is a bit of a worry. Israel, the current prime minister over there, is saying that maybe Israel will not support the United States in this Ukraine, Russia, China situation. They're going to remain neutral. Now, it's Foreign Minister Yair Lapid who suggested that Israel would not automatically stand by the U.S. in a recent interview with this magazine, which suggested that Israel would not automatically stand by the U.S. So what do they say? We want favors to stand by or what? I mean, they're supposed to be one of our closest allies, if not the closest ally. And now then they're kind of backing off and not wanting to take a side in this Ukraine potential invasion by Russia and the animus between China and Russia and the United States. It's a very difficult situation over there. I've looked at the map, as I've said many times, in Belarus to the north of Ukraine. The Russians have recently, in the last day or so, removed some of their troops from that area. But originally, I thought they'd put them there to block, you know, traffic up into Belarus or vice versa on the river there, which is a name I can't even pronounce. But that river runs all the way through Ukraine. And now then that they're backing off from that, I'm wondering whether they've got assurance from Belarus that they won't won't help the Ukrainians or anything else. I don't know. But this saber rattling over there, if they get, in fact, they're doing it, you know, the White House is sending troops over there, American troops over there for the Ukraine crisis. It's splitting our attention over to there when the real attention should be in Taiwan and the Chinese threat there and our fleet over there, which you can see up there in slide 56. Let me just get up there for a second. China responds to U.S. show of naval force by deploying dozens of warplanes. The People's Republic of China sent 39 fighter planes into its southeastern neighbor, Taiwan, and into air defense identification zone on Sunday. Now, of course, the Navy put, you know, a fleet or two over there with their own F-35s and things. And that's, of course, where one of the aircraft crashed that we were talking about earlier in the show on the deck of one of our aircraft carriers in that area. But that's where the real action is, I think. And we're being diverted and perhaps our resources being split between that and the Ukraine situation. And the next thing I expect to see, of course, is that the Arab alliance over there is going to get unstable and Iran's going to be pressing to take, Israel out, or Jerusalem particularly. Wow. I had a look at an article there looking at the centrifuges and Iran's got new super duper U-Butte centrifuges to spin the the uranium gas, hexafluoride gas, to spin out the plutonium and the U-238, U-235, so they can make weapons-grade bombs. And with these new centrifuges, they can now make more of the stuff they need to make the bomb, in a shorter period of time. I don't know how long they've had these. I'm sure the Israelis know, but it's at a point where they're threatening. They're going to go ahead and attack Israel. Whether they use the nukes or not, they're going to attack them. And this may happen, but with the Abraham Accords still growing with other nations, on the Persian Gulf or the Arab Gulf, joining Israel in this pact, this peace treaty, is what it amounts to, in a trade treaty between them. I don't see how it's going to be supported completely by the Arab nations in the region, unless the Arab nations that are signing this Abraham Accord are doing it kind of tongue in cheek, Arabs are known to be very sly traders. And so I'm wondering if they're agreeing to all this peace treaty and stuff in the Abraham Accords, but they're going to reverse their position when, say, Saudi Arabia and Iran get together and want to attack Jerusalem or attack Israel. I don't trust the Arab nations. I got to be honest. They've had a long history of being devious. And with the Islamic faith there, it's all right to lie to the non-believers. And we're non-believers. So I don't know. What do you think?
I'm going to defer to you. I like listening to your musings, intellectual, discussions on this. I defer to the Bible in terms of the what's going to happen. But then again, I look to you to make it
current events relate. Hey?
Yeah, exactly. To mesh what the Bible says with the current events of today. So, I'll tell you what, we're getting ready for something, right? I mean, something's going to happen here.
Well, the Gog-Magog war must be around the corner somewhere. And, I'm sure that having read the Israeli newspapers and stuff, they quote their prophets over there and their modern day prophets and sages. And they're saying that the Gog-Magog war may well be on the doorstep there. And there are two invasions, and that'll be the first one there. Boy.
Yeah, that's... are we going to wake up one morning and bam, we're going to be in this new reality, do you think? Is it going to be that quick?
They're leading up to it. It takes time to move troops in like Russia's done. And
don't forget the Psalm 83 war comes before God.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Holly said the Psalm 83 war comes before that. Well, all right. All right. I stand corrected there. Sorry about that, guys.
But nonetheless.
You cover that. Don't you cover that in Prophetic Perils? With the list of, yeah.
Yep.
Say?
In depth and the difference between the two.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So Prophetic Perils, folks, you can see that she's covered the two wars, the Psalm 83 and the Gog-Magog one. And she's got charts.
Armageddon.
Yeah. And those, she compares them in charts that are showing the differences between the two. So you know how to tell between them.
Prophetic Perils. Yeah.
I saw an interesting one. I mean, just the tone that they use in slide 46. It's in Israel News. Iran-backed terrorists in Yemen threatened to drone strike the UAE's Tower of Babel. Now, UAE has just, in the last year or so, they have joined the Abraham Accords and are making trade with Israel, and it's all kissy-lovey-dovey, but they are threatening in Yemen, and these are Iranian-backed terrorists. Now, Iran wants to attack Israel, but they are attacking Saudi Arabia, they have been, from Yemen. And they're saying here that the terrorists there in Yemen are saying they're going to use drones to blow up the Burj Khalifa, which is they call the Tower of Babel, in the UAE, because it's so tall. If it's not the tallest, it's the second tallest in the region. And so you have these terrorists from Iran threatening to hit this in the UAE, and they've already done bombs and stuff in Saudi Arabia. So they're being a real pain in the side. So you can see that there's room here from this for a truce to be made between the Yemeni terrorists, Saudi Arabia, and the rest of the Arab nations that form the consortium that Saudi Arabia formed, you know, and runs at the moment, or chairs. It's the Tower of Babel. I love it. But anyway, with all the people coming into UAE now after the Abraham Accords, and not just Jewish people, you know, for Israelites, but people from all over the world are going there as tourists. And it it lends credence to being like a miniature Tower of Babel and the city there in the UAE, where all these nations and languages are coming together. Translators are finding it a wonderful place to earn their keep in the area.
You know, the more things change, the more things remain the same. They, you know, I mean, I guess we can go back to the biblical times. We have about 10 minutes, so you know, take your time.
It gives you a quote at the beginning that's saying exactly what you're saying. And they said, this is from Genesis 11:4. And they said, come, let us build us a city and a tower with its top to the sky to make a name for ourselves, else we shall be scattered all over the world. Now, if you think about it, why did the Saudis and the UAE, why did they build these tall buildings? Because they want to have claim to the biggest thing, you know, we're cool, we've arrived. And it's definitely happening there. That's what they're up to.
Nothing new under the sun. I mean, and of course, Genesis 11:4, as you pointed out, yep, there it is.
One thing I saw, which I put the link up to, and it's the first link in the chat channel, was a German attorney, U.S. German attorney, Dr. Rainer Fuhlmisch, gives his opening statements at the International Criminal Grand Jury investigation. And they're saying that the Illuminati are making a drastic reduction of the world's population and manipulation of the remaining population in DNA into transhumanism. And so they're making a legal case to do what I was just talking about earlier in the show, to accuse, you know, the world leaders, you know, globalists, of trying to kill a lot of people, and they're doing it with the virus, with pandemics, and with the cure even. We haven't seen the end of what they're going to release on us, but I'm glad to see that there's a legal approach being made at this International Criminal Grand Jury to accuse these people, to name them. In fact, I think it might name some of them in here that he's listing here. Let me just see.
I actually played that yesterday.
Did you?
I think of parts 1, 2, and 3 yesterday. Yeah.
It's like a Nuremberg trials before the thing is over. But did it say in there what people they were going to name when you showed it?
Yeah, there's a PDF grand-jury.net. There's a PDF that lists the defendants what would you call them? The targets of this grand jury investigation.
I seem to remember that Fauci might have been included in that list. Yes. I'm not sure. Was he?
Bill Gates. Yeah. In fact, I don't have it. Let's see. I might be able to pull it back up here. But yeah, it was amazing to read this PDF. I did save it. I know that. I can
just scanning down through the Twitter thing here to see if they listed it in that. I thought they did, but anyway, yeah. Keep looking. I'll get back over to my show images page here. Okay. Okay. Well, tell me when you find it. In the meantime, I want to discuss something else here.
Sure.
The UK, the Ministry of Defense there, they have talked about a risk of nuclear attacks from space. Now, we all know this. I mean, the Chinese have got hypersonics, the Russians have got hypersonics that go up into orbit and target a city or, you know, a military target and drop a bomb on them, a nuclear bomb. And so the Brits are, you know, they're getting panicky, at least in the public notion, to what they're going to have to do to protect themselves from these. And I don't know, quite honestly, what their armed forces or their military can do to, you know, to protect them from a hypersonic missile coming down from orbit, right, parked right over them, and then just suddenly is released and bang, it's down upon them. You're talking like a minute or something, and it's done. Whether it's an EMP pulse or whether it's a nuclear bomb that's meant to destroy. And so Great Britain is doing what we should be doing, you know, looking for counter hypersonic missile weaponry or, you know, some kind of logic to keep them from hitting them, like a curtain, you know, an electromagnetic curtain or something over the planet, over the city that might deflect the incoming missile. You know, its guidance might be confused to take it a little bit away from the target. It's still going to hit the UK, you know, when it comes down. But anyway, both China and Russia are a threat to UK and us over something like that. I'm just looking here to see. Yeah. Okay. Got it covered. Okay. All right. Okay, I think I've covered all the major issues for today. I'm going to go over to our news page, standio.com. And we cover there, Holly covers in the alerts, the UK military warns about risk of nuclear attacks from space. And then a lot on our weather. And that's an interesting point. Last week, someone put out considered a rumor, but also a report with a video of an Inuit Indian telling that the sun is rising in a different place, that the Earth's axis is tilted. Now, it is tilting, and we know it's tilting. It's scientifically, a fraction of a degree per year type thing. But the Inuit are saying they can see it visually, that it doesn't rise, the sun doesn't rise in the same place it should at the same time of year, in the northern regions of the planet, obviously. And that they can see that the sun is, you know, shifted enough that with the naked eye, you can see that it's not rising in the right place. I checked as much as I could on the internet to try to find any verification of how much other than the normal drift that we've seen. I even used the little application on iPad, which allows you to look at the stars. Stellarium, that's right. And, you point it at the sun where it is right at that moment where you are at that time, and it tells you the sun should be such and such. And then you look up over your iPad and say, is the sun in line with us, the compass? And I tried it yesterday and the day before, and basically, because of the inaccuracy it's holding with your hand and stuff, it looked like the sun is rising approximately where it should for this time of year and this time of day. So I don't know, what the Inuit situation is talking about, unless it's a long-term change they've seen. And they say it's going to get worse, and I know it will, because the magnetic field is weakening so much it's going to disappear for a while. And movements in the core of the planet are shifting, the crust of the Earth, because we drag along behind the core when it moves in different directions. Anyhow, that's
interesting.
Something considers what's causing our droughts. And Holly told me that we're going to see maybe at the end of this year a return to El Nino, which would mean more rainfall water for us here in the flyover states, particularly in Colorado where we live. But again, it's still irregular weather. This drought situation is so bad here. It's amazing. It's like 3 years of it. And
it's supposed to get worse.
Yeah, it's going to get worse through spring, she said. It's going to be really, really dry. And that hurts crop, and that hurts.
So your snowfall has not been, no. I mean, obviously all precipitation has been off.
But it's not down here.
Yeah, well, the snowfalls hit various parts of northern Colorado, Denver, in that region, in the Rockies. But you need it out where the crops are. You need rain or something. And that's the problem in the grain and, crop growing areas. Not enough water. I mean, on a good year where we are, we would average 12 inches a year. And we're not anywhere near that at the moment. Yeah. As Holly says, it's been about 3 years since we've had that, even near that kind of rain. And birds are migrating differently. I mean, look, we have not seen any of our sparrows and chickadees and finches and doves. They've all stayed with us here during what's supposed to be the winter. We feed them out there because they're hungry. We give them water and stuff, but like we might have at the moment 100 to 120 sparrows that live outside our kitchen window in the bushes there. They shouldn't be here. And we're seeing signs of them picking partners and ready to make nests. This is, early February. That's a little ahead of schedule. So anyway.
Wow.
Wow. The sun, I'm sure, is doing all this, but people don't want to admit that.
So. No, of course not. It's all the stuff in your hairspray can, right? Whatever. Yeah. Thank you, Holly. I saw that or heard that chuckle. All right. Thank you. God bless you both. StanDeo.com. God bless. Good night. Have a good night. That'll do it for me tonight, folks. Until tomorrow. Stay safe. God bless.